Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, of course, the numbers and damage, and now I've seen a couple of different reports about how many people have died now as a result of Hurricane Harvey. 39, 44, and most likely that's going to go up. And just the devastation has been massive. But I want to turn the corner on that. And by the way, this Sunday, both the governor of the state of Texas, Greg Abbott, as well as the president of the United States, Donald Trump, have declared this Sunday, September 3rd, a national day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. And for our national response and recovery efforts, that's from President Trump's proclamation. And then the proclamation from the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, also right along the same lines for the people that have been affected, obviously, and that are struggling through this, but also all the first responders and everything else going on there. And the devastation and even the danger now has been massive. Some other things I found out about today. FEMA is saying 100,000 homes have been impacted. 37,000 homes have major damage. 7,000 homes completely destroyed. They're saying that 70 to 80% of all these homes did not have flood insurance, so that's going to be a massive nightmare. 30,000 people still in Houston shelters. You've got all kinds of tens of thousands of homes. They're searching tens of thousands of homes. They're going block by block, house by house. Close to 1 million vehicles destroyed. I mean, there's all kinds. They're saying somewhere between the low estimates is 40 or 50 billion. I saw another estimate as high as 180 billion, which would make it the costliest natural disaster in U.S. history. So all of that is heartbreaking. And if you haven't donated anything yet, I was doing this on Monday, had an opportunity to talk to a couple of the major Christian relief organizations. We had somebody from Samaritan's Purse, as well as somebody from the relief side of the North American Mission Board. That's the Southern Baptist Convention, 45,000 churches strong, and they are always Johnny on the spot. And any of these national emergencies and national natural disasters. So make sure you do that, $5, $10, $50, whatever you can do. If you have not done that yet, please, I'm just urging you to get involved and to, at the very least, we should be praying for these people on a regular basis as often as it comes to our mind. And this Sunday being set aside by the president and the governor of Texas to do that. So we need to make sure we continue to lift up all these people in prayers and not just the people that have lost homes, have lost loved ones, are dislocated right now and are in shelters and all this stuff, but all the people responding. And we need to continue to do that, and hopefully you'll have take the opportunity to give what you can to the rescue effort and to all the things that are going to be going on down there financially. It's obviously a major nightmare. But there's a lot of great things going on, too, a lot of great stories that I've read and I'm sure you've heard about. So today on the show, I want to open up the phones. I would love for you. We haven't done that in a while. I haven't taken calls in a while. But I would love to hear from you just on your reaction. It's kind of like Hurricane Harvey versus Texas and America. That's kind of what this is. Hurricane Harvey versus Texas in the American spirit, really at its core, as we look at it today. So what have you noticed? All of a sudden, we're not talking about Russia. We're not talking about Antifa too much and Black Lives Matter and KKK and the white nationalists and fascists and all that kind of stuff. Even the division up on the Hill in D.C. and all the stuff going on with Donald Trump versus the world, sometimes it would appear, has all taken a little bit of a backseat, and that won't last for much longer, but it certainly has. So I think I would like to reflect and ask you today, what have you seen? Have you been encouraged at all by the response of just ordinary Americans and even to a certain extent our government officials, and we need to give them credit at the federal, state, and local level, but just at average ordinary citizens. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of boats, people, just regular people showing up, people rescuing others with jet skis. And then you have, what is it, the Redneck Navy or whatever they're called. That's awesome. From Louisiana, and all these people coming in from all over the place. And the governmental response was not, you know, immediate on top of everything, because they just can't get everybody there. But everybody in Houston and everybody in Rockport and all along the coast, which we got to make sure we don't forget about the coast of Texas, not just Houston, which is our country's fourth largest city, but 866-34-TRUTH is the number, okay? So have you been encouraged? Has your faith in America or the American spirit or just the average American citizen been restored or at least lifted up a little by what we've been seeing going on down in Texas and then, of course, Houston getting most of the press? But how has that affected you? And what do you see? Do you think the American spirit is alive and well? Do you think there is hope for just us? Take the stinking media out of it, which I know you could make a case that I'm a member of the media, but I'm not that kind of member. But take the media out of it. Take all that stuff out of there and just look at the human stories. Just look at what's going on, what has been going on, and what will continue to go on down in Texas and in Houston. And what has that done to your opinion of our country and of our fellow citizens? And do you see anything in there theologically? Do you think through it as a Christian and go, okay, I'm looking at what's happening down there, and here's what this makes me realize about God or about the scriptures or about Christians or non-Christians or whatever. Just how has this affected your view of human beings in general, in America more specifically, the great state of Texas? If you know anybody, maybe you've had a family member down there or a friend that's been affected directly, I would love to hear from you today and just share with me how you've been affected by what we've been seeing going on down there in Texas as a result of this unbelievable once-in-a-thousand-year kind of flood and hurricane impacting the great state of Texas here in, of course, the United States of America. 866-34-TRUTH is the number. So we haven't done this in a while. I haven't opened up the phones in a while. So I hope you'll roll with me on this one. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. How has it impacted you? Most of us listening here, I used to be on some stations in Texas. I'm not. I've never been on in Houston or South Texas. But for you, just as an American, just as a caring person, fellow citizens are down there, some of them Christians, most of them probably not. And how has it affected you and your view of the American spirit and the American experiment in general? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I would love to hear from you during the course of today's show. And I've got some great stories. One guy, everybody knows him in the Houston area, Mattress Mac. Some neat stories there. All kinds of other stuff going on that we need to consider. A great article that Peggy Noonan just put out earlier today in the Wall Street Journal, The American Spirit is Alive in Texas. And that's wonderful. I'm definitely going to read that to you. I think that's going to encourage you. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you have a little more faith in America based on what you're seeing in Texas? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Has a little bit of that American pride come back after all the division based on what we're seeing in Texas? We'll be right back. All right, so we know there was the big fight a week ago, right? The MMA guy or whatever he was, and then the boxer, Mayweather and McGregor, all of that. But in this case, today we're talking about Hurricane Harvey versus Texas and the American spirit. Who do you think won and why? Let me just put it to you that way. Hurricane Harvey versus the state of Texas and the American spirit. Who won and why? Based on what we've been seeing in the news, and I've been encouraged once again. It's so easy to get down on America and the state of the nation and the political division, all the racial garbage and that we've seen out of Charlottesville and all those nightmares and the political division, and half the country seems like they hate Trump, a third of some smaller portion loves Trump, and some other portion not even paying attention to anything. But I think what we've seen in Texas, at least for me anyway, has been very encouraging. I want to hear from you. I've got some friends on Facebook Live chiming in, so I'll share their comments too. And if you've had a friend or a family member down in Texas that's been going through this and you want to share that story, absolutely, we would want to do that. And I don't know about you, but I'm very encouraged. But the question today, Hurricane Harvey versus the state of Texas and the American spirit, who do you think is winning that fight and why? 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH is a little bit easier way. I'm going to jump over to Paul, who's calling in from Mount Airy, a beautiful area right here in my state of North Carolina. Paul, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, when it comes to Hurricane Harvey against the American spirit has definitely won this round.
Yeah,
and I say that. Oh, go ahead.
No, really. No, floor is yours. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I have my wife and I are actually just recent transplants in North Carolina from the area impacted by the hurricane.
Wow.
So all my in-laws, most of my in-laws are still over there, as well as a home church we left there. And just yesterday, I shared with your call screener, they had 40 people from the church volunteer going to some of the areas that were very hard hit. And they were joined by 60 high school football players in the Magnolia Independent School District. And everything they could do, they got done yesterday to help these people, people who were just devastated. And these people responded amazingly. And it's just made me very thankful to the Lord that he has put such a great body of believers there. I know the men of Magnolia Bible Church very well. And their hearts in serving the people, and always will be. And so definitely the American spirit won this round.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so how are your friends and your family members doing down there in Texas?
I'm very thankful. All our family is doing well. They got flooded in, but there was not really any serious damage to my in-law's house or anything. I don't think the water even got up there. We had some friends who got pretty close to inside their house, but by God's grace, our family's doing well and stayed dry and are recovering well from this this huge event.
Yeah, that's awesome. Paul, thanks for calling in and sharing that. Welcome to the great state of North Carolina. I appreciate you calling.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. You do the same. 866-348-7884. What have you seen about the American spirit in this whole nightmare with Hurricane Harvey? Have you been encouraged? Has it kind of turned around, perhaps, your belief that this nation can actually heal and move forward, that there's anything we can do as a unified front, as a unified force? I mean, it's amazing, and this happens pretty much every time. It didn't go this well early on with Katrina, with all the nightmares going on there, and I could go down a couple different political roads on that one, but I'm not going to do that today. But in this case, boy, it's been really remarkable to see, and I've got a bunch of stories here I want to share with you, but I would love to hear from you. So Hurricane Harvey versus the state of Texas and the United States of America, the American spirit, who do you think won and why? And what has this shown you about the country? And has it encouraged you? Has it kind of brought you back from the edge? Because it's easy. You watch the news, you pay attention to politics, you watch what's happened to our culture, and it's easy to write this bad boy off. Believe me, I'm tempted to do that all the time. I'm just like, oh, forget it, enough. You know what? America doesn't even show up in the book of Revelation, so forget it. It's kind of abandonment theology. I mean, whatever. I'm just going to, you know, I'll try to share the gospel and as much as I can and do what I can as a Christian here on the air and other places, and I'll just try to do my part. But as far as the country goes, forget it. I mean, sometimes I get there. Do you ever get that kind of discouraged about the state of our nation? And has this situation in Texas done anything to change the direction of that? 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884, or 866-34-TRUTH, and a bunch of friends chiming in on Facebook Live, and I'll get to those comments here in a little bit, including a couple people from Texas, like Christina, who is like, you know, people in Texas love Texas, and a lot of us outside of Texas love Texas, and there's just that amazing kind of strength and grit that exists down there, and I think we've really seen that, but, you know, that's not entirely just because it's Texas and Texas has a certain way of life. I think you see a lot down there just based on the Imago Dei, just based on the image of God. But a couple of really cool stories, and if you want to call in and share, that would be awesome. 866-34-TRUTH is our number. Here was one story I saw. This was on Glenn Beck's website. Strangers in a hurricane shelter throw a birthday party for a child displaced by Harvey. So somebody finds out that this little, I think a 9-year-old, was having their birthday during the all the nightmare going on down there, and they're in one of the evacuation shelters, and so all these people get together. Somehow they found a cake. Somehow they found some presents, and they all jumped in and celebrated this boy's birthday, including a birthday cake. And that's just strangers, right? 40 of them just got together and did that. This is another really cool story. Houston bakers trapped by floodwaters spent 2 days baking for evacuees. So this was a little bakery place in a certain part of Houston that probably mostly has a Hispanic clientele, and four of the guys working there couldn't get out. They tried to go get them, and they couldn't get over there far enough. So they were stuck in this bakery for several days, and instead of just being bored, they just started baking, and they just started baking all of this bread, and then as soon as they could get to them, the whole place was full of bread. There's some really funny pictures that have been out on the internet, boxes and boxes of all these different kind of decorative breads and stuff. And then they took those out and delivered them to people in need. So they're sitting there and they're stuck. And the economic impact of this is going to be massive. 40% of small businesses don't survive this kind of stuff. But these guys just sit there. All right, let's bake. They had their power on. They were rocking and rolling. They just baked for 2 days. And now they're out giving this food away. And then this whole fleet of monster trucks. Now, I'm not a big monster truck guy. But all of a sudden, a whole fleet of monster trucks are coming in there. One of them or two of them got together. I watched the video on it. It was on CBS or ABC's website. And they pulled a army truck out. It was stuck in the water, and these two big monster trucks pulled it out. Super, super cool. But what about you? Have you been encouraged by what you've seen as just the regular citizen response down in Texas? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Hank, who's calling in from the great state of Iowa, our friends up there at the Truth Radio Network. Hank, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
You know, I think it's the age-old question, why would a loving God allow such things to happen? And if you read some of the backstories of what has happened, you clearly see God's grace and protection. I mean, hundreds of millions of people around the world are aware of the situation and praying. And the loss of life has been tragic, but it's been relatively minimal for the size and the scope of this event. You know, the hurricane is beyond precedent.
Yeah.
And it's also been quite a long time since there has been a major disaster of this type. But I guess the real thing that I look at is God has a way of, even in the darkest times, primarily in the darkest times, of really making the light shine. We've certainly seen that with so many Christians.
Certainly have.
Really coming to the forefront.
That's right. You know, I'm up on a break now, Hank. I'm up on a break. But thanks for calling in and sharing that. What a great point. God is definitely shining. We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? Back at Steve Noble Call to Action Radio. If you want to put a date on your calendar, if you want to join us here in Raleigh, North Carolina, Friday, October 27th, that song you're hearing right there, my buddy Matt Papa, who's done our Call to Worship event last 3 years in a row, and this year we're doing kind of a mashup. So we're going to have Matt Papa there again, who's incredible. Matt and his band, just incredible praise and worship. And then we're going to also, because we're doing it at Bishop Wooden's church here in Raleigh, big black church here in Raleigh, we're also going to have the Upper Room Church of God in Christ praise and worship team. So we're going to have some black church going on, which is going to be awesome. And then the last couple songs of the night, we're going to mash those things together, which I don't even know what that's going to look like yet. But I know it's going to be a blast. So we'll take Matt Papa and his band, and we'll take the Upper Room praise and worship team, and then we're going to get a couple songs picked, and then somehow we're going to work all that stuff together. So that's going to be totally awesome. So we'll start talking about getting tickets and all that kind of stuff in the next week or two. But on your calendar, Friday, October 27th, here in Raleigh, North Carolina at 7 p.m. that Friday. And it'll be just a rocking, incredible night. And we'll have a great testimony. I'll do a little, I share a little, and still working on a on-stage interview. It might be with the great Lieutenant Governor here, the great state of North Carolina, Dan Forrest, who's just a rock-solid Christian and a dear friend of mine. So that it's going to be a great night. So just put that one in your calendar, Friday, October 27th, because it's going to be awesome. God has blessed it the last 3 years, and I know he will again this year. Talking today and would still love to hear from you, 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884. Sometimes it's just easier to remember, 866-34-TRUTH. And the Hurricane Harvey versus the state of Texas and the United States of America, or the American spirit, and who won, and have you been encouraged by what you've seen going on down there? I think the government response, for the most part, from what I can tell, has been really good, but it's the individual citizen response and the church response and other organizations' response and just regular people with a boat. And Christina, who's a friend on Facebook Live, was talking about this one guy knee-deep in water, grabbed a plunger, walked to the middle of the road, started plunging as if he was in it, trying to fix his stopped-up toilet. Now, I don't know if he was doing that to be humorous, or there might have been a little drainage thing there in the middle of the road, but there's been funny things there, too. But also the loss of life this Sunday, declared by both the President of the United States and the Governor of the state of Texas, a day of a proclamation of prayer for this Sunday. So let's make sure we're taking part in that. But don't wait till Sunday. I'm going to pray with all of you at the end of the show on the air. And we'll pray for the people all involved with that down there. But a couple more neat stories, and I want to get to this great article that was written by Peggy Noonan, who really, I think, nailed it. The American spirit is alive in Texas. This just came out earlier today in the Wall Street Journal. But Houston's Mattress Mac turns his stores into shelters. A small business owner in Houston is doing his part to help the victims. Known locally as the Mattress King of Houston and for his boisterous local TV ads. I can't believe there's boisterous mattress ads in America. That's remarkable. Mattress Mac, Mac and Vale, is stepping up to help his fellow Houstonians in need find safety, food, and a warm place to sleep. He's turned two of his popular stores into shelters and has organized volunteers and trucks to help rescue his fellow Houstonians. The business invited anyone in need of shelter who can safely navigate out of their neighborhood to his stores in the Houston area for dry shelter, food, and more. He said that in a Facebook post where he also shared photos of children playing on mattresses and others sitting on his furniture. Approximately 300 to 400 people have taken him up on his offer at each location. So that's totally awesome. And you just keep seeing all these other things going on. We're just individual people showing up from boats. I watched a video yesterday where it was a whole line of cars, just like this. The video is about 2 minutes long. Somebody driving at probably 45, 50 miles an hour on the opposite side of the highway. And just literally car and trailer and boat, car and trailer and boat, car and trailer and boat, over and over and over. And all these people just getting into Houston. They put their little boats in wherever they can. I've seen rescue pictures of people with jet skis. It's really been incredible to see that. And then all these people down there and all the food coming and all the water coming, it's really been inspiring to me that when push comes to shove, all these people, and it's a very diverse area, all these people can set aside all their differences and just focus on caring and loving and serving one another. And that is the Imago Dei. That is the image of God that every person possesses. And so I think when push comes to shove, that starts to come out. And then it's just amazing to watch some of these stories and how people are caring for one another and sacrificing for one another. But how's that affected you as you've watched this unfold over the last week or so? 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884, or 866-34-TRUTH. And I love this story. This is a commentary. Peggy Noonan, who's a great writer anyway. She used to be a speechwriter for Reagan and has been around for a while. She's writing for the Wall Street Journal. She referenced a little bit about a General Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, gave a kind of an impromptu visit in the Middle East the other week. And one of the lines he used was, hold the line. So she kind of jumps off of that, General Mattis saying, hold the line. But here's what she said. If you gave just a few minutes to the news, you saw it all. The generosity and courage, the sense of community, of people who really care about each other. You saw the pontoons and air mattresses and bass boats and rowboats and pool floats in which people were rescued. No one knows how many were saved or how many saved them. Every disaster at some point becomes a jumble and people stopped counting, but surely tens of thousands were saved. We saw it all, often live on television and the internet, because of excellent reporters and crews. A mother with her little children was marooned, the water in her home rising dangerously. I didn't know who to call. I didn't know if it was going to be too late. Suddenly there were men outside the house coming for her. It was just an angel, she said as she wept from the back of the boat. Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo honored Steve Perez, the 60-year-old cop who drowned in his patrol car. When Mr. Acevedo spoke to Perez's widow, she told him she'd begged her husband not to go, but he told her, we've got work to do. The chief told her, you know who he was. If he had to die, he wouldn't want to be home in bed. He would have wanted to be on the job and trying to help because he has that in his DNA, the police chief said. On one channel, they were looking for what they'd heard was a group of abandoned horses being led through the streets by a guy in a jet ski. In Columbia Lakes, a local man showed a reporter the homemade barrier he'd built to protect his neighbors in case the levee broke. He wasn't afraid. We don't do drama here, he said. On Facebook, there was the story of the woman who went into labor while the waters quickly rose. Word spread through the apartment complex. Soon a huge, heavy truck made its way to her door. Neighbors formed a human chain to help her out. She got to the hospital and gave birth to a girl. There were a lot of human chains, and often when they showed people being pulled from houses, the families were all ethnicities and all races, the whole American mix. Black mamas, white papas, mixed kids, an Asian child. On the national level, America always sounds like a constant argument over race. On the local level, meantime, everybody has been happily integrating in the most personal possible ways. The local ABC station caught a young Catholic priest, a French-Canadian, assigned to a Houston parish out in a kayak and heavy rain looking for people who could use a mass. I guess this is how the Americans were evangelized as well, with a canoe, he said. And this is a kayak. I hope that I can bring a smile to a few people. Noticing the TV cameras, he said, I guess we're live. The Lord is alive, and the Lord is always with us as well. And of course, there was the Cajun Navy from Louisiana performing its own spontaneous Dunkirk. Texas had taken them in after Katrina. Now with Sam Houston, we are here. We are, Peggy Noonan writes, a great nation. We forget, but what happened in Texas reminded us. It said, my beloved America, you're not a mirage, you're still here. If they'd done only that, they deserve whatever they need. They held the line. Peggy Noonan, of course, talking about the people of the great state of Texas. And that has been, for me, just really encouraging. Just to see that it still can happen. That American spirit, that rugged individualism, and that desire not only to take care of yourself, but to take care of your neighbor and your willingness to sacrifice and even risk your very life to help other people. I've got a whole article here of people that died as they were trying to help others. I mean, one person after another. One person just trying to go help somebody, help get their cats out of their house. And unfortunately, they were electrocuted to death. And it's just one story after another like that of people sacrificing to help their neighbor. Of course, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command, because they were trying to trick him, he kind of doubled down. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the Christian ethic. In America, whether she's forgotten it completely or not, I don't know. But most Americans that we see today on the news down there in Texas, most of them have kind of a Christian worldview. They have kind of a Christian understanding of life and of the value of life. They kind of have a Christian understanding of sacrifice and serving and loving your neighbor and not condemning somebody or putting them in this silo or that silo because of the way they look or even who they choose to worship or if they choose not to worship at all. It's just, I'm watching this, and this is how I watch movies and a lot of other things, and my Christian worldview is kicking in the whole time, and I'm sitting there going, I'm watching tens of thousands of people all created in God's image. And they're all doing what God would have them do, which is to love their neighbors as themselves. The tragedy comes knowing that all kinds of people who can love their neighbors well may not be loving the Lord well, and they may not even know him. They may not even know who his son is and what his son did for them. The ultimate rescue, the ultimate sacrifice. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to pray together for all the people and all the people trying to help. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about kind of wrapping up the week, talking about Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Harvey versus the great state of Texas and the American spirit itself and who won that battle. And that battle is going to be going on for a while. Hurricane Harvey has moved out, and we're getting some rain here all the way up in Raleigh, North Carolina, that came all the way from down there in the Gulf Coast. And then there's Emma, which is another hurricane out there, which they're saying might get all the way up to a Category 5, which is the strongest one that they record. And they're hoping it's going to take a turn to the north, but we'll see what happens there. But, you know, we're in hurricane season now and need to be paying attention to that stuff. But let's make sure we're praying this Sunday. Greg Abbott, who's the governor of Texas, did a proclamation for this Sunday as a national day of prayer, as did Donald Trump. Here's what, at the end of the proclamation, here's what Governor Abbott said. I do hereby proclaim Sunday, September 3rd, as a day of prayer in Texas. I urge Texans of all faith and religious traditions and backgrounds to offer prayers on that day for the safety of our first responders, public safety officers, and military personnel, healing of individuals, rebuilding of communities, and the restoration of the entire region struck by this disaster. On Donald Trump's proclamation, the presidential proclamation, also for this Sunday, he said, "We give thanks for the generosity and goodness of all those who have responded to the needs of their fellow Americans. I urge Americans of all faiths and religious traditions and backgrounds to offer prayers today for all those harmed by Hurricane Harvey, including people who have lost family members or been injured, those who have lost homes or other property, and our first responders, law enforcement officers, military personnel, and medical professionals leading the response and recovery efforts. Each of us, in our own way, may call upon our God for strength and comfort during this difficult time. I call on all Americans and houses of worship throughout the nation to join in one voice of prayer as we seek to uplift one another and assist those suffering from the consequences of this terrible storm. And I think, you know, that's absolutely the right thing to do. I don't remember the last time a president has done a proclamation for a National Day of Prayer outside of the regular National Day of Prayer, which is in May. So great to see that. I think that was excellent on both their parts. And Greg Abbott is an outspoken Christian. Of course, our president makes a profession that he's a follower. I've never heard him say, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." I've heard him say, "I'm a Christian." And I know he's heard the gospel every which way from Sunday for the last year and a half, because I know some of the people that have been sharing with him, including one of my pseudo bosses. I guess you can call him a pseudo boss, which is Pastor Greg Laurie. He's been on the Evangelical Advisory Committee, and some of them were there just the other day. I think it might have been yesterday when President Trump signed that proclamation. And we need to make sure we're keeping all these people in prayer. But today, just kind of talking about, has this kind of restored any of your faith in the American experiment to see, without the aid of the government, be it at the federal or the state or the local level, people just taking care of each other? Somebody on Facebook Live reminded me of the Chick-fil-A story. So this one guy called the Chick-fil-A, and I think probably firmly tongue-in-cheek, you know, "I need a couple of chicken sandwiches," or whatever he ordered, and a boat, because he and his wife are stranded in their home. Well, lo and behold, the people at the Chick-fil-A, and I don't think this is this would only happen in a Chick-fil-A, like that's God's fast food restaurant. But that's what they did. I mean, they went and somehow got a boat and or knew somebody with a boat, and they went to that house and they rescued that couple. Now, the question I haven't been able to get an answer to is, did they actually bring them their chicken sandwiches and those awesome waffle fries and maybe even a peach milkshake? I don't know. But it's been great. Christina is a new friend on Facebook Live. And she just said this: "Harvey has made all of us equal, just Texans helping Texans," and which is a beautiful thing. And that's where, as we watch this, I think we need to remember, like, if you get into political arguments or you get into arguments of somebody that doesn't look like you, I think it would be helpful for all of us to remember what we are capable of as Americans. We've seen it through not all of our wars, but through most of our wars, where we have the ability to come together. Usually it's because of tragedy. Maybe the Cubs winning the World Series was something that helped to bring a lot of people around America together, but usually tragedy. And why is that? Why is it that it takes a major, major national tragedy to kind of get us to set aside our differences and mourn together and weep together and be willing to sacrifice for one another? What is it? What is it about that? Is it just because I have needs that need to be met, so now I'm going to be nice to people? Well, that might explain people that are asking for help. But does it explain the people that are showing up and self-sacrificing and giving the help? No, I don't think that does. I think ultimately, inside every human being, and I don't care whether you're rich or poor, Southern, Northern, West Coast, East Coast, American, British, Australian, Afghani, Muslim, Christian, Hindu, nothing, atheist, agnostic, Eastern religion, New Age, whatever. Every single one of the people on the planet right now and for all of human history, all made in the image of God. And inside each one of us, you know that human life has inestimable worth. If that weren't true, then all the post-abortive women, and just here in America, and when you read the studies, and I've met many post-abortive women because I've been in ministry stuff. I've had a woman on the show that had 3 abortions. And there's that deep, deep regret and brokenness and pain. Why? Do you have a deep, deep regret if you have your pancreas has to get removed or appendicitis? And do you mourn over the loss of that particular organ in your body? No, you do not. It's because we all know that human life has value. It has unbelievable value simply because of where it comes from. Human life has value because we're all created in God's image. And because of that, when that starts to get broken and we see that suffering, we respond also because of the image of God that's in all of us. And so we just respond to that. And it's sad on one hand that it takes a national disaster and things like this to pull it out of us. But boy, it's there. And God didn't reserve that for us just for bad times, but in good times as well, that we could bless and serve and care for and listen to and love and sacrifice for each other, even when it doesn't seem like it's the end of the world. When you just have a neighbor across the street and they go on vacation and you cut their grass or you get their mail for them, or you just have a kind word, you just listen to them, or you get to know your neighbors and actually know their names. That's where we need to take the next step. That is that we're not awesome human beings, loving people, loving Americans and citizens together of this great experiment when the chips are down. No, when the days are good, you need to love then too. We need to sacrifice then too. We need to care for each other then too. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ like I am, boy, that opportunity exists every day. At the post office, at the grocery store, at the Starbucks, at work, at school, wherever. And then especially when times are dark. And that's when the light of Christ can shine all that more brightly. And we need to take advantage of those times, especially then. Now, the need is great. So it's not like, oh, look, people are suffering. This will be a great time for me to go show off my Christianity. That's not what I mean. You know that. But when the times are dark, when you can bring that joy of the Lord with you into the conversation and to serve and do it in the name of the Lord, then you're not only helping people with their temporal needs, you're not only helping them with their physical needs, but God willing, you're helping them with their eternal spiritual needs. And we all have to do that all the time. So let's not wait for another big nasty storm to show off the best of what human beings can do because they're made in the image of God. We should be doing that all the time. And that's been another thing that's come out of this, watching the hurricane Harvey and the after effect and people taking care of each other. I'm like, you know what? We could be like that all the time. It's there. The raw material's there. It's the willingness that's not there. And sometimes we have to get pushed into a very dark place before we forget our petty differences. And not that all our differences are petty. There's some significant differences out there. Pro-life, pro-abortion, for example. But in general, boy, wouldn't it be such a better country if we at least learn how to be civil towards one another and loving towards one another. Okay, as we close up here, I'm just going to lead all of us in a prayer. And certainly if you're driving and stuff, you know, I'm not asking you to close your eyes. You can pray along with your eyes wide open. But I do want to pray for everybody in Texas. I don't want to forget the people on the coast and not just Houston. And all the first responders and the government people, all the people involved in that. So if you'll join me in prayer, we'll close up the show with that today. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be together here on the radio and talking to each other. We might not ever meet face to face until we're all reunited in heaven. But Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be together with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And for the people that are listening that maybe aren't that sure where they stand with the Lord. Father, that we would be a blessing to them as well. But we do lift up the people of Texas, all along the coast, all around Houston, all the areas that have been hammered and devastated. There's been so much loss. Lord, the financial loss is massive. We can't even begin to count that yet. Lives are getting turned upside down. People are without hope, without homes. So we pray for them, Lord. We pray for the physical needs, the financial needs of every person affected by this storm. We pray for the people that are helping them. Christians and non-Christians, whoever they are that are helping, Lord, that you would strengthen them for this fight, for this effort. Lord, give them wisdom and favor and strength and stability to continue to serve and continue to heal and work with the people down there, Lord. For the government officials, federal, state, and local, we pray for their wisdom and we pray for their strength and their endurance, Lord, and their discernment. And we pray, Father, that there would be a great harvest of souls from this, as people question, why? What's up? Why did this happen? Why did I lose everything? Father, we pray that you would send workers. We know that the fields are ripe unto harvest, but we lack the workers. So we pray, Lord, that you will send workers into the harvest to care for these people, their deep needs, but also to reach into their deepest need, their need for a Savior, their need for Jesus. We pray for revival and salvation all throughout the land down there, Lord. We love you and we praise you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, friends, have a great holiday weekend, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.